Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a moonlit jungle-style jungle sampler rack in Ableton Live 12. Then we're going to saturate it, shape it, and arrange it so it actually feels like a real drum and bass section, not just a cool loop. The big idea here is simple. We're not making a toy. We're making a rack that can survive a full arrangement. That means intro tension, drop impact, call and response movement, and enough control to stay punchy, dark, and musical all the way through. So think like a jungle producer, but also think like a performer. This rack should be able to do three jobs at once. One layer handles rhythmic motion, one layer handles weight, and one layer handles atmosphere. If one layer tries to do everything, the groove gets blurry fast. Let's start by creating a new MIDI track and loading an instrument rack. Inside that rack, make three separate chains: break, bass, and atmosphere. Keeping these separate is a huge part of the sound. In advanced jungle and drum and bass, separation is what lets you saturate aggressively without turning the whole thing into mush. For the break chain, use simpler in slice mode if you want to trigger chops from MIDI, or classic mode if you're working with one shots and more direct edits. For the bass chain, use simpler, operator, or waveatable depending on whether you want a pure sub, a res, or a resampled bass dab. For atmosphere, use simpler for vinyl noise, rain, reverse textures, eerie hits, or distant ambience. Now set up your macros in a way that makes the rack playable. Map something like break tone, saturation, filter open, sub level, width for the upper band only, send to reverb or delay, transient snap, and dirt or crush. That gives you performance control right away. And in a jungle rack, performance control matters. You want to be able to move from tight and dry to wide and filthy without rebuilding the whole patch. Now let's load the break material. Pick one main break, ideally something immense style for identity, and one support break with a different room tone or transient feel. That contrast is what gives the rack character. If you're slicing the break, don't go crazy with tiny fragments. Aim for a useful set of around 8 to 16 slices. Too many slices and the rack stops feeling musical. You want enough detail to phrase with, not so much detail that it becomes chaos. A useful workflow is to duplicate the break lane and treat each lane differently. One lane can handle the main groove slices. Another can handle ghost hits and turnarounds. A third can be your fill and reverse edit lane. That way, the rack starts acting like a little drum performance system instead of one static loop. A few quick sound design moves help a lot here. If the break feels too bright or brittle, low pass it a bit, maybe somewhere around 14 to 18 kHz for a dusty top end, or even lower if you want that darker moonlit feel. Add a tiny pitch envelope if you want a little more snap on the attack. And if you hear clicks from aggressive edits, shorten the fade just enough to smooth them out. One advanced trick: duplicate the break chain and shift the sample start by just a millisecond or two. Seriously, even a tiny offset can create a new feel. That's the kind of detail that makes a jungle rack feel alive instead of copy-paste. Now let's design the bass. In this kind of tune, the bass shouldn't fight the break. It should support it. The sub should be simple and strong. Use operator with a sine wave, keep it mono, and give it a controlled decay if you want a pulsing pattern. Think in terms of clean fundamentals, not huge stereo nonsense. If you want a mid-bass layer, use waveatable or analog with a detuned saw or a restyle patch. Then filter the low end out of that layer so the sub can stay clear. High pass the texture layer somewhere around 90 to 150 Hz, depending on the patch. That keeps the low end disciplined, which is exactly what you want in dark drum and bass. Here's the mindset shift. The sub gives you authority, but the res or mid-bass gives you emotion and tension. The best jungle and neuro-jungle hybrids usually sound huge because the low end is controlled, not because it's overloaded. Now for the fun part. Saturation. This is where the moonlit jungle character really starts to show up. The key is to saturate in stages, not all at once. Don't just throw a heavy saturator on the master and call it a day. That usually kills the life. On the break chain, try drum bus with a little drive, maybe around 5 to 18% depending on the source. If the break needs more crack, lift the transient a bit. Keep boom subtle or off unless you specifically want that extra low thump. After that, a saturator with soft clip can add density without completely flattening the chop. On the bass chain, use saturator more carefully. A few dB of drive can make the harmonics speak on smaller systems, but you still want the bass to feel focused. If the saturation gets edgy, clean it up with a EQ8 afterward. You want body and pressure, not upper mid pain. On the atmosphere chain, This is where you can get a little dirtier. Light Redux can add green. Roar can give modern distortion movement if you want a darker, more aggressive tone. Auto Filter can animate the layer and make the whole rack feel like it's breathing in a late night alleyway kind of way. A solid chain order for the break is simpler, then EQ8, then drum bus, then saturator, and then maybe a compressor if it really needs glue. For bass, think operator or wavitable, then saturator, then EQ8, then utility for mono control. That's clean, practical, and reliable. Now we program the groove. Use a 2-bar or 4-bar MIDI phrase. Don't just loop one idea forever. Jungle lives in the edits. Let bar 1 state the main break phrase and a sub hit on the downbeat. Use bar 2 for ghost snares, a snatched hat, or a tiny reversed fill. Bar 3 can repeat the idea but remove a hit or two. Then bar 4 should push into the next phrase with a bass answer or a break stop. Velocity is doing a lot of the work here. Main snares should hit harder. Ghost notes should be lower in velocity. Hat ticks should alternate levels so the groove shuffles naturally. And bass replies should feel confident without being too loud all the time. If you're triggering slices from MIDI, move a few hits slightly ahead or behind the grid. Don't overdo it, but do let it breathe. Snare accents can sit just ahead. Ghost hits can lag a touch. Bass replies often feel better just behind the beat. That slight contrast between urgency and relaxation is a big part of what makes DNB feel alive. You can also use the groove pool lightly if needed. A subtle groove can add human movement without softening the jungle edge. Just don't overshuffle it into mush. At this point, your rack should already feel playable, but now we need to make it feel like a full section. Map and automate your macros. Use filter open to brighten the break over time. Use the send macro to swell reverbs or delays before transitions. Use dirt or crush to increase intensity in a controlled way. And keep the sub mono at all times. Width belongs on the upper layers, never on the sub. For arrangement, think in blocks. Start with a low pass intro where the break is ghosted, and the atmosphere carries the scene. Slowly open the filter over 8 bars, before the drop. Automate a reverb send or delay swell, then cut it right before the impact. That little moment of emptiness is powerful. Bass makes the drop hit harder. Once the drop arrives, keep it tighter and drier. Then in the next 8-bar block, open things up a bit. Maybe add a fill, maybe increase the drive slightly, maybe let the atmosphere breathe more. The idea is to give each phrase a job. One block introduces tension, the next expands it, the next strips something away, and the next restores impact. Use return tracks for short dub delay, dark reverb, and maybe a parallel crush send. Keep those effects controlled. In darker drum and bass, too much wash can blur the break science. You want atmosphere to frame the groove, not drown it. Now let's talk mix discipline, because this is where a lot of advanced racks still fall apart. Clean up the break with EQ8 if needed. Cut low-end rumble below 30 to 40 Hz. If the snare is harsh, tame the 3 to 6 kHz area a little. If the break sounds boxy, reduce some 250 to 500 Hz gently. On the sub, keep it mono with utility, and make sure it isn't fighting the kick for the same fundamental. And check the rack in mono regularly. That's not optional. If the whole section collapses when you collapse to mono, then the stereo tricks are doing too much of the heavy lifting. A good test is this. Turn the break down by 2 dB. If the groove still works, the bass and arrangement are probably strong enough. If the sub disappears when the break comes in, then the break is masking the low end and you need to rebalance. Now for the arrangement upgrades. Build a full phrase, not just a loop. For example, 8 bars of intro tension, 8 bars of build, 16 bars of drop with one variation every 4 bars, 8 bars of switch up, then 8 bars of a second drop lift. For switch ups, you don't always need more samples. Sometimes removing a snare for half a bar hits harder than adding another layer. You can also insert a reversed break hit at the end of a bar, swap a bass reply for higher octave stab, or briefly open the atmosphere chain and then clamp it shut again. This is the real pro move. Subtract before you add. If the section feels busy, remove a layer. Advanced jungle often wins through contrast, not density. The silence between hits is part of the rhythm. If you want to push the sound design further, try making a safe version and a wild version of the rack. The safe version preserves punch, clarity, and low-end discipline. The wild version exaggerates dirt, width, and motion for transitions. That gives you performance control, which is gold when you're arranging a full tune. You can also experiment with velocity to timbre mapping, so harder hits open the filter or increase drive slightly. That makes repeated chops feel less static. Another great move is alternating break personalities. One dry and tight, one roomy and crushed. Swap between them every 4 or 8 bars for a subtle scene change. And if you really want to lock in the vibe, resample your best 4-bar performance. Chop it into audio and use those moments as new fills. That's one of the fastest ways to get authentic jungle phrasing that feels intentional instead of programmed. So here's the takeaway. A strong moonlit jungle sampler rack is built from separation, control, and movement. Separate your break, bass, and atmosphere. Saturate them in stages. Keep the sub mono and disciplined. Build phrasing into the MIDI. Automate filters, sends, and intensity to create real arrangement motion. Then finish it with switch-ups, tension release, and clean low-end management. If your rack can hold up across a full arrangement, then it's no longer just a sound design experiment. It's a real DNB weapon. Now go build the rack, print a few versions, and don't be afraid to get a little grimy with it.